Today, I want to talk about persistent faith. Last time, if you were tuning in, we talked about being consistent, and today we're going to talk about being persistent. So let's just pray just for a moment. Lord, we ask you that you would help us. Holy Spirit, enable us to hear from you and allow us to be changed and different in Jesus' name. Amen. So if consistency, if you thought of a cake, is all about having the right ingredients, making sure the quality's good, and if you're a Christian, staying true to who God's called you to be, being set apart, then persistence is the active desire to say, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. I choose not to give up. And obviously, we're going to say this not just in good willpower, but by faith. Luke chapter 5, I love this story. We're going to look at it today. And it's the story of Jesus, and he's calling his first few disciples, and they're fishing. They've been fishing all night. They've caught nothing. And then Jesus speaks, or the disciples come back to Jesus in chapter 5, verse 5, and they say, Master, referring to Jesus, we have toiled or fished all night and caught nothing. Ever been there? That kind of position where you've done your very best. You've done hour after hour. You've been persistent and it doesn't seem to be enough. Like, what's going on? And I'm doing my best and this is not working. And maybe you even think of the question of, I'm giving up. Well, let me tell you about a quick story from a few years ago in Latvia. We got to go to Latvia 2 or 3 years in a row, do a kids camp. It was absolutely life-changing, not just for the kids, but also for us as leaders as we got to go. It was an incredible few years. We really missed it over the last couple of years, but we're believing that we're going to get back there. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's one part of the trip. At the end of the trip, we decided to do a high ropes course. And I want you to imagine a big forest. It's got trees. It's got canopies. And we're up high in the forest, and you're clipped in, and you're safe. So you can fall, but you'll not fall too far because you've got a safety cable on you at all times. But the goal is you do these courses and there's some obstacles and you're climbing and you feel a wee bit like Robin Hood, if you remember him. But eventually, after a while, there's course A, course B, course C, and each one of them gets harder and harder and harder. And so everybody's doing it, so I'm doing it too. And so then we get to course 3 and I'm like, I'm absolutely exhausted. And I think to myself, I don't know. I have to do this. I want to do it. Can I do it? But I go for it anyway. Well, look, near the end of it, I come to this point where, and you've got to imagine like a swing, but normally you sit on a swing. This obstacle or this challenge you had to get through, you stood on the swing. So your hands are on the ropes and your feet are on the board at the bottom, and it's so unstable, and you're trying to get from one swing to the next, and it's really, really hard, and I am exhausted. And I remember getting all the way through, but I thought to myself, every time I take this step of faith, you have to be fully committed to it. If I miss the step, I don't know. I think I'm just going to dangle for hours. I don't think I've got the energy to get back up. And so right at the end of the challenge, they have one of the boards and it's higher up than the previous ones. And I thought, oh no, this is the beat you. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm going, oh no. And I'm looking around at everybody else and they're like, you can do it. And in my mind, I'm going, I don't know if I can do this. And so I take a step of faith in a sense and I hit the board, but I don't get my balance and I fall. And now I'm dangling about 20 feet from the boards in the air, about 100 feet off the ground. I'm thinking, I just can't do this. I can't do this. And that's what I'm thinking about in this moment. And I'm thinking about today for us. Maybe you've been in that position. I waited for a rescuer. In fact, I was waiting for a Jesus-like figure and he never came. It felt like every instructor just didn't see me. And eventually, after about 30 minutes, I thought, I'm going to give it one more go. And I decided, let's do this thing. Now, in that moment, I don't think I was using any kind of faith. I think I was just saying, I don't want to be stuck here all night. I'm fed up looking embarrassed. I'm just going to get back going again. And I had enough of a rest that I could give it one last go. And praise the Lord, I got out safe and sound. But I want to talk about those moments when you need faith, when it's just you're past the point of no return. And it's not just enough to talk to yourself, because maybe you've talked to yourself 30 days in a row and got back out of it. But now you're in day 31 and you just cannot get back up. You're exhausted. I was exhausted. I was beaten. And I did not want to persist anymore. But here's what God says. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, or at just the right time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know what I love about this verse? It's almost, it's pushing us forward to say, look, I cannot stay to just me and my family or to me and my desires, but I've got to get past those. Because look what it says, verse 10, but let's do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of Christ. It almost says, right, you've got your family, you're serving God, you've got the people around you that may be saved or not, but you've got to get to each one of them. You've got to get there. And don't become weary in doing good, because at just the proper time, at just the right time, you will reap a harvest. Do not give up. The word is saying over and over and over again, don't give up. And God is always reminding us to keep pressing on. He says, I am with you. Don't give up. Do not give up. So let me pose a question. Anybody want to know the secret of persistent faith? Come on, this is a good one. It says in Philippians 4:12, we're going to look. Paul actually tells us the secret of persistent faith. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, before you go on, I want you to realize Paul's in house arrest. He's been in house arrest for 2 years, prison. And I start to go, whoa. We've been in house arrest in this last 18 months or so. What did we learn? Because this is what he learned. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And the thing that grabs my attention is that we've got a decision to make when we're not in the positions of life that we desire. What are we going to do in those moments? Are we going to choose to praise God? Are we going to choose to live by faith? Are we going to be like everybody else and moan and complain and look at the bad and look at the negative and get consumed by all the different things that's going on around us and not speak any life, but in fact start to partner with death? Then we've got a challenge to ask ourselves, am I living by faith or not? Because Paul said in the midst of this lockdown, in the midst of my 2 years of house arrest, this is what I discovered. And so here's a challenge. What have we discovered in this last 2 years? I mean, we can become absolute experts in terms of this thing and that thing, but what have we discovered in the things of God? Because the only thing that's going to really matter are the things of God. You know, we can go after this thing and that thing, but you know what the word tells us over and over and over again? To keep your eyes on the prize, to keep your eyes towards heaven, to keep your focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. We're going to change the world, not by going after this thing or that thing, although there are times when we do this, but we're going to change the world by putting Jesus first and saying, God, where are you leading me? Jesus, I'm after you. I'm only doing what you called me to do, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that we can do and we've got ability to do and we've got opportunity to do. But how many times have we found ourselves at the end of the day going, I really want to seek God, but I've got no energy? And could it just be that we weren't disciplined enough to say no to this thing and to say yes to that thing and to reprioritize our lives? Because if you don't lead your life will lead you. That's the bottom line. And so here's the secret that Paul learned. And here's the secret that we got to grasp. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. I'm sure you know this verse. If you've been saved for any length of time, you probably know it. If you don't, wow, what a revelation. But can I tell you that we can do all things? That means absolutely everything. It means we can make better decisions. It means we can make better choices. It means that we can prioritize better. It means we can say no to things. You know, often I've heard people say, look, I just couldn't. It's just who I am. I had no choice. I had to do this. Absolutely not. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're either going to choose to activate and receive this and stand in this word by faith, or we're going to choose to be tossed and turned by everything that comes. And what for Paul, in the worst of this, I'm in house arrest, I'm near death, I'm fearing death, I'm concerned with death, but I can do all things. On my best days, I can do all things. In every season, I can do all things. It doesn't really matter where we find ourselves. We've got to realize that we can do anything in God, as we're called to His purposes. But we've got to apply this to our lives. Otherwise, we're just going to go with the flow. And any fish that goes with the flow is dead. And I don't want to go with the flow because I know I'm alive in Christ. He has called me to. And the season and the series that we are in is John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant life. For us to step into this abundant life, it takes moment by moment, day after day, by faith, exercising the rights we have in him. Philippians 4:13. Let's just get it into our brains. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Wow, those days when we say, I can't share my testimony, those moments when we say, look, I couldn't do this, or I couldn't share my faith, Lord, help me to pray, I can do all things, and then help me by faith to step out in this, because praying's not enough. I've got to step out into this thing. And so how does it look in the real life? Because this is all that really matters. How do we apply this? What does it look like? I mean, and for the disciples that day, just to give some context, you've got a fishing business, you know, you're in your workplace, you've had a hard, bad night, things have been going wrong, you've been making no money. I mean, it's a sign of failure, and then suddenly Jesus shows up. And the story is that Jesus has been talking to some people, he's been preaching the good news, and these fishermen have been out all night long trying to catch fish. And you've got to understand, they're in their workplace. They're not in a meeting, they're not in a prayer time, they're not in a worship time, they're just trying to work. And it's the Sea of Galilee, and so it can change at any time. There's no lights really on the boat, there's no equipment on the boat, it's a small boat, and they've been out for hour after hour after hour, and they're cold and tired and fed up and wet. And Jesus finds them on the seashore, and they're tending their nets, just trying to get them ready, and they're probably sharing stories, or maybe they're not even talking because it's been such a bad night. You know when you have those times whenever you're in a group and something's went really, really wrong and nobody speaks because everybody's licking their wounds. Everybody's thinking, oh, how did this happen? What could we do better? And everybody's internalizing and no one's saying anything. And then Jesus walks into the situation. He literally walks in. And what does he say? He says, push out, launch out into the deep. You're going to catch some fish. I mean, could you imagine the scene when Jesus comes? I mean, of course, they reference in verse 5, like we said, Master, we've toiled all night. So they call him Master, but they're still unsure because they're like, but Jesus, do you really understand? And I think in these moments of being persistent in our faith, we've got to understand that Jesus understands better than us. He knows what he's called us to, and he promises whatever I've called you to, I've purposed you to, and whatever I've purposed and called you to, I will resource you with, and I will supply all of your needs, because I'm the God who works through you, and you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And so let's have a look at three quick things today of what we can learn. Number one, it's been a hard night. It has been a hard night. This is probably an understatement. It's been a hard night. When we read the word, we should put ourselves in the shoes of the story, of the people in the story, and say, wow, what would it have been like to be in that boat, being tossed and turned all night, getting no reward, just hour after hour in the pitch black dark, wondering will we ever catch any fish? And yet the word from Jesus is, don't give up. But Master, we've toiled all night. But Master, we've tried so hard. But Jesus, you know what I've been doing. We've caught nothing. And what it made me think about is wintertime. We're about to come into wintertime. And wintertime's a funny season, isn't it? You know, it's like cool because we hope for snow and we've got Christmas and there's Santa and all those different things and it's awesome. But it's also one of those things where nature just shuts down, completely shuts down, and praise the Lord, your grass stops growing, so you don't have to cut the lawn every week. It's like, I enjoy it, but you know what I mean. And so you just shut down, and nothing really grows. I guess it does at a really tiny rate if we're being super technical. But here's the word that God put in my spirit for us today. There's no results, but the seed is safe. There may be no real clear results in wintertime in terms of things growing and things in terms of things having fruit and doing all the great things that a tree wants to do or what harvest wants to do. I mean, we've come through all of that and we're at the end of the cycle. But I tell you what winter does. It allows a time of restoration. It allows a time for the ground to recover. It allows a time for the ground to rest. And for us, maybe in that season, they didn't realize it. They thought during the night it was a time to catch fish. But maybe what Jesus was doing was he was getting them to rest. And he was going to reveal some things to them. And ultimately, he was going to get obedience from them. That no matter what season you're in, I tell you, it's good when it's good. But what are you going to do when it's bad? it's awesome, your workplace right now, and you're doing really well because you're making money and things are going well. But what will you do when the money dries up and it's not your fault, or it's because of health, or it's because of redundancy, or it's because of COVID? Like, what will you do when you lose control? Because things are great when we're in control, usually. And in those moments, we say, well, I don't really need God. But what do you do when things get out of control? Winter season comes to all things. And when it does, frost, snow, wind, cold, all come. But guess what? The seed is safe. The seed is safe. And the purpose of God on your life hasn't changed, even in this winter season, if that's where you find yourself. Maybe you're in trials, maybe you're in troubles, maybe you're in loss. And it all wants to stop us. But at that moment, Jesus says, don't give up. Keep persistent. Keep trusting me in faith. In fact, I'm not sure that you can persist without Jesus. In fact, I think this is a high quality of our faith. It's not persistence on faith. It's you'll find persistence in your faith. You'll find this in Jesus. And so the question at this point is, how are you living in obedience to Jesus? Because this is what they were learning. We've toiled all night. Master, we've done this. We know what we're up to. We know how to fish. We know how to get fish. But do you not understand? And Jesus says, look, he's not trying to battle them. It's not a battle of intellect or a battle of wills. It's nothing to do with this. It's when it comes down to it, will you trust me? Because this is just small fry. This is just fishing right now. But at the end of the chapter or the end of the story, you're going to read that we're going to fish for men and women now. We're going to fish for people. And the cost is much greater now. Because if we can't fish well, if we can't cast the nets well, people go to a lost eternity. This is just fish. And of course, it'll affect your belly and it'll affect your pocket. But what about people that if we don't reach them, it affects their eternity? The stakes are much higher than. And Jesus says, I need you to learn to trust me. And it's not because I'm a bad guy. It's because I'm really good. But I've blessed you with really high talent and really amazing ability. And sometimes that can actually get in the way of what I called you to. Point number two is this. Launch again. Verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. In other words, Jesus said, I need you to learn something else. I need you to learn to go again. It doesn't always happen the first time, the second time. Like, we kind of live in a world right now that just shows us the results. But we don't get to see really the 90% that happened. We just get to see the 10% of the good, the celebration, the outcome, whether it be winning a race, winning a talent contest, showing the books after you've just made your first million in a business. But we don't get to see what it was like behind the scenes. And for them, here's what it looks like behind the scenes. We've toiled all night. Maybe this is night after night. We're not told in the story, but we're told that they fished all night long for hours and got no results. And Jesus simply says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And here's what I love, and I think there's something in this that we've got to pick up on today, and we don't want to miss it. Nothing changed, but Jesus spoke. Nothing changed. Nothing changed in their scenario. And how many times have we found ourselves in a position where we say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what to do. And we begin to pray, we begin to read, or maybe you're not even saved. But here's what we tend to do first is we start to change things, right? We need to get a new boat. We need to get a new location. We need to get a new crew. We need to go at a different time. Just, you know, need to get a good sleep. We start to add in all these different changes, and we tend to stack changes up when we think we need a breakthrough. So we start to change everything. And it's not just changing one thing, but it's changing everything. And I believe at so many times, because I've seen it in my life and I've seen it in other people's lives, a lot of the times it can be the worst thing you can do. What we really need to do is find what Jesus says. But Jesus spoke. At this moment, they didn't get another boat. They didn't change locations. They didn't blame each other. They just listened to Jesus and they said, right, okay. There's this funny line where it says, nevertheless then. Okay, Jesus. So, okay, right, just to please you, just to keep you happy, we'll do it. And what I love about this is that when it comes to obedience to God, we don't have to have this like, yeah, we're going for this. Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah, we love Jesus. There could be times in our lives where we just be obedient and it's a sacrifice. Where we could just be obedient and it's almost even reluctant. It's like we can be obedient still, even when we still have a tiny bit of pride in our heart and we go, okay, nevertheless, Lord, I'll do what you say. And this is the thing about life. It's not going to, we're waiting for perfect feelings and perfect answers and perfect responses and perfect times to move. And yet Simon Peter just said, okay, Lord, nevertheless, we'll do what you say. Nevertheless. Isn't that an incredible truth to grab a hold of? Nevertheless, we may be the fishermen here. We may feel like we know what we're talking about and we know what we're doing and we've had the experience, but Jesus, this is you. This is you. And so we've chosen to follow you. We've chosen to give you our lives. And right now at this point, we realize that you're king over all things. And our last point, which you're going to go to in a moment, is they had to learn that Jesus was Lord. And this is what was going on, most importantly, in the story. But my second question for our hearts today is, how are we hearing God's voice every day? If I'm not hearing God's voice, guess what? I'm hearing my own, or I'm hearing somebody else's, and I'm going to make up answers, or I'm going to glean answers, or I'm just going to follow what that person says. And the most dangerous thing is to follow the wrong voice. The most dangerous thing is to follow the wrong thoughts or the wrong actions, because it'll lead you to the wrong places. And we can get ourselves in messes like you cannot believe. Imagine they don't listen to Jesus. If they don't listen to him, guess what? They don't get the biggest catch of their lives. They don't get a story that will forever change their lives, and they don't get to follow Jesus. Maybe the goodness of God as he comes back the next day, but it affects them there and then. And there's consequences to our actions, and there are consequences when we do our own things. And my encouragement is this: how are we hearing from Jesus? How are we hearing God's voice every day? We need his voice. Point number three, Jesus is Lord. The truth is they followed after God and they said, okay, Jesus, we'll do it nonetheless. And they caught tons of fish, maybe more than ever caught before. It was unbelievable. It was like the greatest catch of their lives. It got so bad, it got so good. It was like good and bad at the exact same time. They had to call their friends in the other boat over. Their nets are busting. Their two boats are about to sink. The weight of the fish, of the catch, is absolutely incredible. And how did it happen? Because they listened to Jesus above them, listened to themselves. They trusted Jesus. They were obedient to Jesus. They said, look, we know a few things, but you know much better. And if we could get ourselves to a point in our lives where we simply said, okay, I do know a few things, and Lord, you have blessed me, and you have given me good thoughts, and I have good ideas and plans, but your ways are higher. And so, Lord, what do you say? What do you say in my relationships? What do you say with that girl or boy that I'm thinking of going out with? What do you say about that job that I'm thinking of quitting? What do you say, God, for that business that I'm thinking of starting? God, what do you say about my everyday life and my actions, my reactions, my thoughts, the words that I say or the ones that I don't say? God, what do you say when I'm around my family and friends and I need to make a change or I shouldn't have said this thing? Guys, there's things where everything, we need to hear his voice. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves making it up, and if we make it up, it may not be God, it might just be us, or worse still, it might be the opposite of him. And he says, if you're not for me, you're against me. Peter in verse 8 says this in the word, when Simon Peter saw it, he saw all the fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, or he fell at his feet, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Wow. You get a glimpse of Peter's thinking here, don't you? Jesus, I thought I knew better. Jesus, I thought I was the fisherman. Jesus, I thought I knew what I was talking about, but wow, I'm not even worthy. Lord, depart from me. Peter knows who this is. He knows it's Jesus. He knows he's a rabbi. He knows he's a holy man, but he just thought, well, it's just holy things and it don't work in the secular. I'm going to tell you that Jesus works all the way through your life. It doesn't matter if it's in the front of a prayer line, if it's in the church, if it's in Sunday school, if it's in the worship time, or if it's in your work and somebody's like effing around the corner, or you've got a boss who hates God, it doesn't matter. You will be blessed. You will be a blessing. You will see the favor of God, and you will be able to persist in faith in all circumstances. We simply need to know his voice. We simply need to hear what he's saying. And he falls at his feet, and there's nothing wrong with falling at his feet, but notice why he falls at his feet. He falls at his feet because he feels guilty, and he feels ashamed, and he feels like he's not worthy. And Jesus, in this moment, in his moment of despair, is going to raise him up and anoint him for service. And so I want to tell you that if you're feeling just useless and no good or guilty or full of shame, it's at that moment, get ready, Jesus is about to lift you up. He's about to lift you up. Do you have to get to that point? No, because as long as we can get to a place of surrender, it doesn't matter how you get there, just get to a place of surrender. It doesn't matter if you got down of your own choice or if you got down because you felt convicted or you got down because you felt condemned. Watch how he will turn it all around and he will raise you up and he will anoint you for service. And from that day forward, Peter's life was never the same. Or the rest of the guys, Peter, James, and John. In that moment, their lives were never the same again. And Jesus says, from now on, you'll not fish for fish any longer. You're going to fish for people. You're going to fish for men, women, and children. You're going to birth the church. And I love what it says right at the end of the story. I think it's verse 11. They forsook all and they followed after him. They forsook all. I mean, it's this idea of they give up absolutely everything to follow after him. And I want to encourage us that, you know, we have things that we need to give up. Now, in this story, they give up their families, they give up their business, they give up their lives, and they literally followed after Jesus. And for some of us, that's real. It's not just a metaphor. For others, it's we do give up our lives. And we got to realize this. When I give my life to Jesus, I give up the right to my life. That's what the word says. My life is no longer my own. It's his. And so our action is by faith. We say, God, I give you everything. Now, the goodness of God is that for most of us, we don't have to give up our job. We don't have to give up our stuff. We don't have to give up our lives. He simply says, okay, I take that and I want you now to be effective in your workplace. I want you to be just faithful in your family. I want you to be here, there, and everywhere. I want you to serve your church. I want you to be a blessing. I want you to go on missions. I want you to live on missions. I want you to live a life of service. And wherever you find yourself, from helping someone to carry something, to sharing your faith with someone, to going on a trip, to working in an heart, wherever you would find yourself, but simply be a blessing. Be like those early disciples. But what's it going to take for us to get a fresh dedication, to get a fresh surrender, and just say, Jesus, I surrender. And so how are you living? Final question. How are you living a life of surrender to Jesus? How does that work out? You know, it's easy when things are good. It's like, well, I get what you're saying, but I don't really need this, because at the end of the day, and you may not verbalize it, but inside it's the attitude of your heart. You know, we're signing guys up to Kids Club right now and we need some extra helpers. And here's my thought on this. Why would you not sign up? Like, when it comes to like serving in church or serving with your church, wherever you find yourself, or serving in your community, why would you not? Like, if you can move some things and shift some time and maybe reprioritize a few moments in your life, why would you not serve? It's one of the greatest privileges and blessings of our whole lives. And not only is it a blessing to everyone that you help, but it transforms your life. I mean, these guys didn't go from a really cool life to a really rubbish one. They went to a full life in Christ. Now, they may not have had all the blessings of earth. They may not have all the things that everybody else had, but they were seriously rich in Christ. And the goodness of God is this, is that he has prepared you, and he's prepared you for whatever he has called you to. And even though you mightn't see it or you mightn't feel it, if we would take a step by faith and realize I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, I'd be able to take that next step, on that next step, on that next step. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your faith and fill you with fear. Don't allow just circumstances to go, I can't, I couldn't, I wouldn't be able to. Don't allow your experience or your skills or your abilities to rob you of the call of God in your life. They were fishermen, but Jesus says, that's not enough for you. That is not enough for you. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you're a doctor. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom or dad and you're bringing up a family. You're a teacher. You're working in IT like me. Whatever it is. But Jesus is saying, that's not enough for you. You are made for eternal purpose. You are made for eternal calling. And each one of us are all called to reach the lost. There's no extra call on that. We're all told at the end, Jesus said at the end, just before he's about to go, he says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We all have this incredible privilege to be inviters, to be people that deposit the things of God, and be people that will reveal the Father's heart, to reveal the love of Jesus to the world. And I tell you, watch how people will run to that and say, I need that, and say, I've got to have what you have. And it's as simple as believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and suddenly Jesus becomes Lord of your life. You can come just the way you are. You can come with all your problems. You can come perfect, whatever way you want to come. But I tell you, there's no requirement to come any other way just than the way you are today. And say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need to be a part of this mission. I need to be a part of what you've called me to. Guys, we're called to persistent faith. It's not always easy, but we do it by faith. We're empowered by His grace. And I tell you, when we retune and we remind ourselves of that and we focus on that, watch how God is going to take us from this thing to the next thing. And we're not going to get stuck, because the worst thing for a Christian to get is stuck or disillusioned or numb or tired or given up. If you're giving up today, all I'm going to say, here's the way out. Fall at His feet. Do what Peter did. When Peter saw it, he saw the fish. He saw the multitude of fish. He saw the tons of fish. He was right there as he caught the fish. He was right in the middle of the fish. He could smell it. He could see it. He could taste it. He fell at Jesus' feet. He said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You know what he did? He repented. He repented. And repentance is the way of the kingdom. Whether you're saved for coming to salvation the first time, and remember, once you ask Jesus, you're saved forever. You don't need to get saved every day. But the way of repentance is the way of making sure I'm on the right track. It's this idea of, I'm not going to be distracted by everything else. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to be distracted by good or bad things. Can we just process this for a moment? I feel like the Lord just saying, the Holy Spirit just bringing this in. Sin is not bad, it's good. Now, as Christians, we know that sin ultimately leads you to bad or can bring you into bad places. But the feeling of sin, that what you're doing when you're sinning, it all feels good. It all feels amazing. So let me tell you this, the enemy is not going to try to get you with bad things, he's going to try to get you with good things. Now to somebody else, they may look bad, but to you, they're amazing, they're good. I mean, I was chatting to a friend just recently, he said before I came to Christ, I used to drink my brains out every single night and just have so much fun. He goes, here was the hardest part, it was amazing. Now what happened afterwards was not amazing. How you felt afterwards was not amazing. But sin always disguises. Sin always deceives. Remember, the enemy, that Satan himself, is a deceiver of the brethren. He's a deceiver of Christians. And so if he can deceive you with good things, like, I've got to have this, and I've got to have this for my family, and I've got to take care of this one, and I've got to provide for my kids, and I've got to do this, I've got to do that. You know what God says? Cast all your cares on me, and I'll take care of them. What's our job? To worship him. To go into all the world and make disciples, reveal the goodness of God, and watch how people will come to that. Watch how people will get saved. And we weren't just called to fish. We weren't just called to work. We weren't just called to provide for our families. We are called to serve in the kingdom of God, and watch how that all works out together. Come on, we're going to pray today. I really pray that this word is just challenging our hearts, and we're going to step into this persistent faith, one that's not always easy, but we choose to serve, we choose to go forward, and remind ourselves of the secret of persistent faith, which Paul grasped in the middle of 2 years of house arrest. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I pray today for anybody who's far from you. I pray for anyone that doesn't know you. And I pray today they're coming home in Jesus' name. That's really what it is. You come to faith in Christ by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he will take away your sins and your life will never be the same again. Don't wait. Don't try to get better. Don't try to transform. Just come to him right now in Jesus' name and say a simple yes and watch what he does. And Lord, I pray for us as Christians. Lord, we cannot be in a place of complacency. We cannot just sit there and just wait and just hope and just expect God to turn up like Amazon and bring us exactly what we want because we ordered it. Come on, let's be real. We get exactly what we want because we ordered it. Lord, I don't want to live a life like that. I don't want to live a life of comfort where it's like I've designed this and manipulated things to get what I want all of the time. Lord, it's so easy to fall into that. But Lord, I want to be obedient to your voice. So what are you saying today that I need to be obedient to? What have you already spoken that I need to be obedient to? Lord, where's your voice in my day-to-day actions? Am I day-to-day going, before I do this thing, before I take that job, before I say this thing, before I go this place, Lord, what are you saying to me? Because I've got to know your voice so I can live the ways you've called me to live. And then, Lord, I want to live a life of surrender because, my gosh, I think I know some things and hopefully you know some things as well. But when it comes to him, he's Lord of every single area. And so I pray today, Lord, in our hearts, or maybe physically we're doing this, we're just right on our faces. We're right on our knees before God and we're saying, God, I need you. I surrender. I'm a sinner. I need to get right here. And we say, Jesus, come. And I pray, Lord, that if we're saved and we're walking with you and we've kind of got into a way of complacency or drift or just doing our own thing, Lord, bring us to our knees today and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I need a change. Lord, I'm going to change. Jesus, help me. And watch how he corrects you with such grace and with so much love. And he brings you to a whole place in him. Holy Spirit, would you move and do incredible things this week? Don't let us be the same again. Give us that persistent faith, which we do have in Christ, and let's walk in incredible grace. Jesus, we love you. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for listening today. I pray you would be blessed and encouraged. And if we can help, please get in touch. Why don't you share this with somebody else? Why don't you send it to somebody else? Let it be a blessing to you. Be blessed, and we will see you soon.